Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God. How are you today? This is financial planner, the financial advisor with The Face for Radio, Tom Meglia. How are you? Hope you're having a good day. What's going on out there in the world? Shopping, I'm sure. Well, this is my program, Knowing the Economy of God, and I'm financial planner and registered investment advisor and estate planner, Tom Meglia. Born and raised in Arcadia, California, 49 years ago. How you doing? We are aiming to help you understand how God's economy works, what it is, and how to apply it to your life to change more accordingly to what Jesus Christ would want you to do, what Jesus would want me to do. Jesus, of course, our Savior and Lord, Lord of our finances and everything that God has entrusted to us to be good stewards of. And that's what I do. I have spent 27 years as a financial advisor helping, sharing, and coaching people to become better stewards of God's resources through obedience to God through the Bible. And I'm also a Crown Financial Ministry referral coach, and we're here to help you. So the program is called Knowing the Economy of God, and it's based on the Bible. Four specific anchors, I believe, the Bible teaches about God's economy, and they are God is the owner, we are the steward, giving is the first order of stewardship, and we are to be content. Grow into the fourth principle of contentment. So those are the four anchors that everything I write and teach about and counsel about have to play with or have to do with those four anchors. God is the owner. We're the manager. Giving is the first order of stewardship. And contentment is our goal that we strive for as Christians. And in every part of those anchors that we learn from the Bible about what God's economy is, there's a recipe, I believe, that we need to follow. And let me give you a verse to start out with. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16. And another great verse to start us out with, because we're still on God as the owner. That's the first anchor we're still talking and teaching about. We have been since August. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Isn't that awesome? 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. We're still talking about God as owner. And I just think that is awesome. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says the scripture is God-breathed and useful. So let's use it. And we use it to combat two worldly attitudes about money management. One, keeping God out of everything. And number two, that our ego is supreme. We're the mini-God and we should rule and do what we want. So that's what we're combating. That's what we're not going to do, is keeping God out of our financial affairs. No way. We want to keep God in all and every bit of our financial affairs. And he rules, not us. That's basically it. So the word is crowding out those two worldly principles. It's very important. In the last few weeks, we've been talking about Ruth, the book of Ruth. A phenomenal book. I think one of the greatest gold mines in the Bible. And you know, the Bible, don't you agree? The Bible is a gold mine. We found gold. The Bible is gold. The word of God, God's economy, God's teachings, God's systems. That's gold. And I just can't believe, the more I read the book of Ruth, just how powerful it is and how wonderful that book is. Let me review with you just for a couple of minutes about the first three chapters of the book of Ruth. We've been taking basically one chapter per week the last few weeks on the book of Ruth. There's four chapters in it. The book of Ruth basically took place, the time of Ruth and Naomi, about 1,100 years before Christ. Back in Bethlehem, and before that, before they moved to Bethlehem, the land of Judah, Ruth and Naomi resided in Moab, a land of Moab. And so the first three chapters talk about what was taking place in this great, true story called the Book of Ruth. And what's happened is tragedy is the first thing that occurred. And then what happened from the tragedy was the good plan of God. And it revealed the great character of Ruth. That is valuable. Ruth and her character, Naomi's character, their love for God, each other, and others, that is what gold is. And God's economy backs that up. And we'll talk about that, because in the recipe I spoke of earlier, the recipe to understanding God's economy, especially the four anchors, is cite the scripture, number one. Number two, state the economic principles that the scripture is exclaiming or expressing. Number three, how do you apply this to your normal life, regular living? And number four, the prayer of change. What is the prayer of change? So we change in the way we live to do what God wants us to do and to abide by His rules, His ways, His economy. That's the recipe. And I'd like to read chapter 4 to you of the Book of Ruth. See what you think of this, okay? And then I'll talk about the economic principles that are stated both in chapter 4 and the first three chapters, the entire book. And then after the break, we'll come up to a break, and after the break, we'll talk about the 12 things to do, the summary of the Book of Ruth, the 12 life application principles, so that we can change to do what God wants us to do. This book is absolutely incredible. I see why God named this book after Ruth. I really do. Now I get it. Chapter 4. Ready for this? We've got a few minutes, so let's read it. What do you say? Okay. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth, the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the kinsman redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself." And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses." Then all the elders and those at the gate said, "We're witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem." Let's turn the page. Still on chapter 4. Now we're at verse 12. "Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." Then they go into the genealogy of David. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth.' Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, 'Naomi has a son,' and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David." So isn't that incredible? And in that lineage was Jesus Christ. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Now we're coming up to a break. After the break, we're going to talk about application. We're going to talk about what are the economic principles in the book of Ruth. Let's summarize them. And let's talk about the 12 life application principles that the book of Ruth says and teaches so we can change the way we live from now on to better honor God, okay? So stick with us. We're coming up to a break, and there's so much more to talk about. I'm excited about it. When I say us and we, I guess I mean me and the Holy Spirit, because we're trying to minister and bless you and talk to you about this is great stuff. It's a gold mine. It's right under our noses. We need to listen to it and obey God and change the way we live. Catch up with you in about 2 minutes.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
Welcome back and Merry Christmas. Okay, the economic principles in the book of Ruth. Let me talk about what those are, and then we'll get to the life application part, okay? So the economic principles in chapter 4 and 3 and chapter 2 and chapter 1, the entire book of Ruth, in my view, let's summarize what we've talked about the last four Saturdays, okay? Here they are. Number one, Ruth was committed. So now we're looking at her character, okay? We're looking at her character. Here's two ladies that lost their husbands. It was a famine. There was a famine going on. Naomi lost her husband and her two sons. Ruth and her sister-in-law each lost a brother of a son of Naomi, which were their husbands. Everyone was bereaved and grieved. But Ruth was committed with no financial gain coming. She didn't have an inheritance to look forward to. Naomi didn't have a bunch of money she could get or weasel out of Naomi. She was a committed, loyal, and devoted woman of God. That's Ruth. Those are building blocks, by the way, to sound relationships, which lead to more fulfillment and satisfaction of a relationship, like a marriage. It increases love. It builds and fulfills love. What love? Jesus Christ love that comes down through the Holy Spirit to Ruth and to you and to I. The stronger the relationship, I believe, the more satisfying it will become. With God, there's closeness, there's love. So it begins with the closeness and the relationship to Jesus Christ, that relationship. And then it flows towards others, especially our spouses. But I'll tell you, Ruth had the qualities, the character, like the Proverbs 31 woman. She was a worker bee. She believed in working. She didn't think she was spoiled and deserved everything. She was a worker, a doer, a lover person. No, that's bad grammar, right? A lover as a person. Second, God created people like Boaz who are generous, merciful, giving, and fair. As an employer, as a money manager, and eventually as a husband to Ruth. And that helps other Christians in God's economy, because that's God's way to bless others. And also that God, another principle, God has a plan. He has a sovereign plan, especially for his own, his children, those he calls his own, and those that are loyal to God. He has a plan, even though at first it was horrible. They were crying. They were bereaved. Naomi and Ruth, naturally, like we all would be, they were in pain. They couldn't see too far ahead. They just kept weeping. But God gave Ruth a job. He gave her dignity. Naomi, too. He allowed her to work and to reap in the field, to find someone like Boaz that she could go out and work and get food and work for it. And Boaz was kind. So there's so many great economic principles here. But the most important one is that God is the owner. Anchor number one, because God provided like he says he'll do. And that really is God's way to provide some great things. Now, let's talk about application. Now, you're probably thinking, oh, Tom, you don't realize this. I'm driving around shopping or on the way to a soccer game, whatever. And I'm not in that situation where Naomi and Ruth are. No, you probably aren't. That's why you're driving and not home crying. But if you were home crying, you'd be thinking, uh-oh. This is like Ruth and Naomi. And it's not if, but when all of us will eventually come across the situation, bereavement, loss, pain. It could be all kinds of things. It could be a job, a loved one. There are many things that could fall in this category. Okay? So it's not if we'll fall into the situation Ruth and Naomi were in. It's when. And I don't criticize them for being bereaved and upset. I think it's normal. It makes sense. So we have to remember these 12 summary principles to live our lives by in our normal everyday life, because when people die, that is part of life. That's not unusual. We all will have that happen. It's how we respond and deal with it that matters. So let's talk about the conclusions and summary applications, the 12 I picked out from the book of Ruth that I think can help all of us learn to live and change the way we live, to honor and glorify and obey God in our normal and everyday life. Okay? Here's one. Ruth demonstrates that God overrules in the affairs of ordinary people as he works out his eternal purposes in teaching mankind, in the redemption of mankind, in dealing with mankind. What looks terrible, a famine and there's nowhere to go, what are we going to do, that kind of thing. God does not abandon us because he's our Father, our owner, our Heavenly Father. So he overrules in everything. He rules, overrules in all the affairs. So we trust God for his plan, even if things look awful or feel horrible. We got to be careful about those emotions. They can get ahead of us and we can say, oh, all is lost. And we might feel that way, but not in God's economy. He's got an overall plan that will not be defeated. That's one. The next one, the townspeople prayed for Naomi and for Obed, the son of Boaz and Ruth, to be a kinsman redeemer in Israel. And that prayer became prophecy because Obed was the grandfather of King David, and that's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So what looked horrible was just all fulfilling part of God's overall plan. Next, Ruth's devotion to God. And Naomi was rewarded in her lifetime and beyond her lifetime. She didn't know where that commitment would lead, the faith she had. She didn't know where it was going to go. She couldn't figure that out. She didn't know. But she knew to be committed. That holds true for all of us who put our trust in God. and live according to His truth. We don't know what's going to happen, do we? Better that we don't. But we trust the one who does know the future, and that's God. And we obey Him, trusting Him. And Ruth was rewarded even beyond her lifetime in the lineage of Jesus Christ, and she had a book named after her in the Bible. Can you imagine how many people can say that who've ever lived on earth? Ruth was better for Naomi. Here's another one. Ruth was better for Naomi and more loving and devoted to her than if Naomi had seven sons. And that was the so-called perfect family in Israel. It was, having seven sons was like a term in Israel back in the ancient days. That would be the perfect family. Like today, if somebody said, well, if I have a wife and one daughter and one son, you know, perfect family. Well, in those days, they thought seven sons was the perfect family. But she was better for Naomi than even if Naomi had the perfect family. That's how good Ruth was, all rolled into one. Plus, she was a good, honorable person, a hard worker. She was devoted. I mean, all of the characteristics that matter to God, she was. Let's go on. God is the owner. He provided. He gave shelter, food, and hope to Naomi and Ruth. Even after Naomi said, change my name, Lord. I'm afflicted. I'm not the pleasant one. Call me Mara. I'm afflicted. I'm bitter. She wanted her name changed. That's how bad she felt. It was hopelessness. But you know what? Naomi and Ruth did not end up being in hopelessness. They didn't commit suicide. They didn't quit. They didn't run away. They didn't get bitter. Naomi was hurt, but she came around big time. She started honoring God in chapters 3 and 4 and thanking God for what was being done for her and Ruth. How about that? Talk about turnaround, huh? How about this? Here's another one. No complaining by Ruth. Okay, she wasn't cursing God. Did they feel their pain? Yep. They wept. Initial shock, of course. But they weren't trusting in, and we're not supposed to either, trust in money, gold, land, occupations, relatives. They weren't spoiled, and they weren't thinking they should be spoiled. Ruth and Naomi were worshiping and trusting God for his plan. They knew sooner or later it had to get better. And it's the worst, you know, when things are bad on earth, yep, it's the worst it can get. But when we die, it's the best it can get. This is the worst it can get on earth if things go horrible. But it's the best it can get when we pass away and go to heaven. And God was not mad at her, even though she thought that. But God was working things out. He provided. And there was a welfare system put out so that people could work. They could glean in parts of the fields. The landowners weren't supposed to have everything gleaned. They left some for poor people to fix and to work on. So all these things cultivated a spirit of compassion and good business and love. You know, give me a call, 800-386-3700 for a financial plan that fits you. If you were wondering, Tom, this sounds great. How do I apply it in financial planning, estate planning? I don't know what to do with personal planning, business consulting. Give me a call, Tom Meglia, 800-386-3700. And I'm going to close in prayer, and we'll see you next Saturday at 3:30. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the book of Ruth. Teach us and change us, Lord, to obey and to abide in you, your love, your word, so that we apply the economic principles in the book of Ruth to our normal life, putting you, Jesus, as Savior and Lord of your finances and everything else you've entrusted to us, Lord. We give you the praise, Jesus. In your name, amen. Good day. We'll see you next Saturday at 3:30. Again, give me a call, 800-386-3700, and we'll put together a biblical financial plan that fits you. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. God.